Osalade, thank you very much for stopping by the studio. How you doing?
I'm good. How are you? Thanks for having me.
No problem. No problem. So you were here in Los Angeles because you played Club Deep last night.
Yeah.
Right? Sunday night, Marcus Wyatt's party. How'd that go for you?
Beautiful.
This is your first time playing in Los Angeles?
Very first time. It was actually the best gig I've had in the States.
Whoa.
Yeah.
You have to bring the music down a little bit more for that. I haven't heard that.
It was dope.
Really?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And
it's very promising for LA.
Yes.
Yeah.
Seeing some real serious deep house music going on here.
Yeah, good. I think it was a very cleansing thing for people and for myself.
Really?
Yeah.
Had you heard anything about LA's music scene or house scene, or had you not heard anything?
From a few people, but you know, it's one of those things you have to experience. I lived in LA 9 years, in late 80s, early 90s, and it wasn't a scene, so I was very anti-LA.
Uh-oh.
But it's redeemed itself.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, glad that you could come down and experience that and actually, you know, contribute and be a part of that. We really need, you know, quality DJs and folks that have ears like yourself to keep the scene alive and vital. So
that's
really cool.
Thank you. That was great.
So, I have a lot of questions here to ask you. You know, I'm a big fan of your label and of your music. As I said in the intro, I hadn't actually heard of you until that interview last year when Boogie Solitaire dropped this track that we're listening to right now. That seems to still be skipping a bit. So we have to fix that real quick.
Yeah, that's all good.
And ever since then, I was hooked. And anything, I tell this to listeners who call in when I play your stuff all the time. It's like anything with your name on it, I don't even listen to it. It's just, you know, an instant buy.
I'm blessed.
I appreciate what you bring to the music. And,
you
know, in my reading about you, you know, besides the underground dance scene, you've worked also in sort of mainstream R&B, working with some other R&B artists.
Yeah.
And I was just curious, for someone who's seen both sides, you know, what you think needs to happen in terms of R&B music in order to, or sort of mainstream R&B, I guess, to sort of elevate it back to where it used to be, both lyrically and, you know, production-wise.
Lyrically, I think, Lyrically, I think there's a lot that's different. I mean, we're living in different times than when we were, you know, before. And I think the children are ruling what is now R&B, hip-hop, or whatever. And you have kids who are making music that are actually not making music, borrowing from things that we were influenced by that was actual creations, and there's nothing being created anymore. There's no musicianship. There's like lots of technology, lots of DJ samplers and that kind of stuff, which is cool, but it's not an art. It's not used as an art form. Because I think lots of kids can go out now and get an MPC and a sampler and go buy some records and become Rodney Jerkins or Timbaland or whatever. And not saying that those guys aren't great.
Right.
But in respect to, you know, Philly International, Stevie Wonders and, you know, those kind of people, it ain't nobody. So I think what needs to happen is, you know, the education of music and musicianship, you know, as well as the vibrations of what we're feeding the kids, from food to TV to whatever. You know, you got all of this negative stuff. I listened to Eminem album yesterday and it was very
disturbing.
Very disturbing. And I said to myself, wow, this is what kids are listening to. You know, this guy's saying he wants to kill his mother, he wish she died, and you know, and I was like, wow, what does that say about where we are as a state of being, especially in America?
Mm-hmm.
Because it's not happening in most places in the world. It's only here.
Right.
And so I think what's going to happen and what needs to happen is death to all majors.
Death to all majors.
Death to all majors. Fuck the corporate stuff. I mean, excuse me. Yeah. Kill the corporate, you know, the corporate world.
Right.
And, you know, I think that's why we have a surge of so many independent record companies and artists, because you and I can go buy what we want to hear.
Right.
We're not fed Britney Spears and MTV and like, right, that's what we have to have.
Right.
We don't have to believe that.
Right. So that's it.
Yeah.
Well, let's talk about your background for a bit. You've been making music for quite some time.
Yeah.
How did you actually get into it as a musician and both, and then a producer?
Musician, I started playing piano when I was 7. And over the years, just picked up, you know, a few different instruments and played in bands, blah, blah, blah. Moved to L.A., started doing a few movie soundtrack things, and yeah.
Caught the sunshine.
Yeah, got the sunshine, got the L.A. in my face, and it was good. It was good because I learned on the corporate side, you know, it was great. I don't diss L.A. in that sense, because it was a great experience, because it allowed me to take what I learned to what I do now.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where I started most of the R&B projects, and you know, that's it.
So you
started producing, it's like right on.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Really?
First artist was what was my first big artist that you would know was Gerardo, Rico Suave.
That was your record?
Yeah. Unfortunately.
That particular record
that
was yours.
That particular record. Wow. All of the singles of that album I produced.
Really? Was it Michael Cimbello?
Yeah. That's the name that was on the record.
Interesting.
Yes.
I'm thinking about that. I'm like, yeah. Was your name Michael Cimbello
at the time? No.
Right.
No. It was me.
I gotcha. Yeah. I gotcha. We know how that goes as well.
Exactly.
In this business.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. 17.
Right. So, didn't know better.
You know.
Right.
So
you came here, you started producing these artists, and then at some point you just packed it all in and moved right back to...
Well, I'm from St. Louis originally.
Okay.
I was born in St. Louis. I moved to New York, and that was it.
Really?
Yeah. It was... I've always done house music, but basically for myself,
mm-hmm.
you know, and I got there, and it was just an opening. A friend, Tommy Musto,
mm-hmm.
he offered me the opportunity to start a label, and I did. I saw such an opening in the New York scene, because I felt like the music in New York was very stagnant, and it was very still stuck in the late 80s with the sounds, and there was no songs.
Mm-hmm.
It was still based around all of the wailing, you know, divas over, you know, the jacked beats,
right,
you know,
right,
which is dope. But I felt like there was an opening for soul music to come in. So I bridged the soul that I was doing and, you know, put it with the beat.
Da 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 89.7 FM, KPFK. Christy Lomax back with you for another Restless Soul session, speaking with my special guest this evening, Mr. Osun Lade, talking about soul music, the underground music scene, and his label, Yoruba Records, independent music. You know, we played a lot of house music here in Restless Soul, and I think people understand this, but, you know, we talk about dismantling majors and starting all over, but house music, for the most part, is all independent music.
Yes, all.
I mean, you make these tracks and, you know, you go press them up, you know, 5,000 or however many you can, and it's pretty much like a consignment deal.
Yeah.
Walking your tracks to all the record stores and then hoping someone likes them, and, you know, a DJ grabs them, plays them in a club, and then that translates into record sales, and, you know, there are very few radio stations that actually have room for house, you know, house music, which is, you know, again, as I feel, is the new soul music. That's where it's all going down.
It's true.
Is in the club scene, but people have to get past that 4/4 beat.
Yeah,
both musically and I guess for the producers as well, which is again what you're
mentally
doing.
Yeah, yeah. It's got the music has got a bridge, like you said, the soul music. It's actually I think the people ask me, people say, "Well, you do house music." No, it's, I think the scene is becoming more world music because everybody's bridging more traditional things. There's, you know, the resurgence of Afrobeat, the resurgence of the Indian, you know, everything. It's just becoming more of a world thing. And as I've traveled abroad, it's just, you see so many blends of all types of music. And is great because you don't get that in the mainstream.
Well, let's talk about, since we're on the talking about world music and that influence, the track we just played, which we're grooving to now again, underneath us, Raider Do featuring Wunmi.
Yeah.
Tell me about the evolution of this track, which is yours on the Soul Jazz label.
Yeah. Well, this track was actually complete, and Wunmi and I had talked about doing a project maybe a year prior, and on our first actual meeting, she came by. I played her a few things. She loved where the album was going. I was probably a month into completing the project, and I just gave her a mic, and we were just like doing the thing, and it just came up, and it was like just magical. I knew it was something that was catchy. I was thinking more along the lines of Gypsy Woman when I did it, because it was, you know, on the floor, you don't want to think sometimes, you know, with vocals, you don't want to think so much about what people are singing or music or that kind of thing. So I thought it was something fun and light to begin as well. Her rhythmic Yoruba chanting, it just moves.
You definitely get taken by the spirit of this song and the energy, and, you know, it really makes you work the floor.
Yeah.
You know? How did you find her? I'd heard about her on the Ekabo single, The Masters at Work, and then I, you know, again on yours. So how did you all?
Well, we had met, like I said, a year prior at the Winter Music Conference, as well. You know, being in New York, we crossed paths and that whole thing, and her being Yoruba.
So was she cutting an album or something, or was she there with Masters at
Work? No. She was performing at the Masters at Work's party.
Okay.
And, you know, every time we see each other, it's like, okay, we got to hook up. We got to, you know. So we finally just did it. And that's my sister.
And there's an album coming forth. Is that what I think I just heard you say?
Yeah. There's an album in the makings currently.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so. Y'all heard that. So you want to keep your eyes peeled for that, because I know it's going to be off the hook. Getting back to you and the label, Yoruba. So you felt, basically, by starting your own label, you could put out the music or have more control over the music you wanted to make, because you didn't feel like, was it because also you didn't feel like other labels would release your stuff, or you just wanted to venture as well?
Well, I think it was a combination of the both things, but more importantly was the control, and I wanted to do what I wanted to do without having to, you know, go through the experiences that I have when I do major corporation projects, because you know, you have A&Rs looking over your shoulder, and when you finish, you know, they hire you to do something and they love it until it's done, then they come in and put their two words in so they can say that they're a part of it,
right?
You know, and it's just that kind of thing is not really conducive to creation, you know, creating good music. So the label was inevitable.
And do you have a core of producers? I mean, do you sort of work it the same way I guess a major would? Do you have many artists?
Now I'm starting to do that. The first year I concentrated on myself to get my name out more and my music so that it could bridge other things. But I do have producers and I have a slew of artists. And the thing that I concentrate on more is the soul artists that I work with for the R&B and soul projects, to bring them into this scene, because they don't see what we see on a daily thing. They don't understand the freedom and the joy and the you know, like last night I had some friends come by and everybody, I think including myself, it was a celebration. And you don't get that so much in, you know.
Right.
You know, it's sad because music is a celebration and it's supposed to be enjoyed that way.
Well, in terms of the folks that you worked with in the mainstream, or those that you have contact now, because all of these mainstream R&B artists then have to, they know that they're, or I guess their corporations know that there needs to be a dance remix. If we're truly going to make millions of bucks off the Spice Girls, we need Masters at Work to do a remix for them to get it out to those folks. So, I mean, it kind of goes, it's a one-way street going back that way, but then the house music or the dance music is always in ghettoized on the other end of the scale, right? The music is played on these special master mix shows or whatever.
Yeah, exactly.
So why, you know, what do you think it's going to take to really move this music to the masses? Because it's always been this way.
It's always been there, but I think they just see it as a demographic. I don't think they see it as the main thing. You know, they see, okay, we can make X amount of dollar and get more revenue from this kind of thing because there's so many kind of people. But if you look across the board now, that's what it is.
Right.
The DJs are the superstars now. They're the rock stars. If you go into, you know, Europe and Japan or wherever, the hard house, techno, whatever you want to call it, that scene, which is house music, a little more electronic, but whatever, that is mainstream.
Right,
it's America, and I don't really know what it's gonna take. Like I think for one, songwriting. Mm-hmm. I think that's the thing that is lacking, in my opinion, in a lot of the dance oriented music. There's not a lot of songwriters and a lot of soul.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think people may still be in the whole, like you said, 4/4 kind of mentality. And I think once we bridge, you know, out of that, it's going to grow a lot more.
Really?
Yeah.
You think that's all it is, just
I think
good
it's,
song
I think,
writing.
Yeah, good songs. You know, we have it, and you're seeing it happen. You know, over the last 3 years, you can tell the difference of where house was and, you know.
Well, I agree with that, you know, that there needs to be improvement in the lyrics. But at the same time, it's like I see a song like Sean Escoffery's.
Yeah, dope.
And I don't, you know, I can't understand why everybody is not playing that song.
Yeah.
You can't. I mean, lyrically and musically, you just can't get any better than that.
It.
I just,
you
know,
it.
that is soul music. You know, that's a Teddy Pendergrass.
Yeah, true.
Track.
True.
And it's amazing that thing is only heard on specialty shows or in the clubs.
No.
And so I look at that and I go, well, who's not paying attention here? Because everybody gets their party on.
The suits.
You know, everybody's, but the suits are in a club too. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but they don't understand because they don't let us tell them what's going on.
Well, this is true. This is true.
Yeah.
So you brought some music along as well.
Yeah.
And we have a track queued up. You want to tell folks about what this track is, number 9?
This is a new single coming out either August or September on a label called Set out of Paris. And it's, you're familiar with Tree of Life?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, the single, the vocalist from there, Nadira Shakur. This is a project that we're doing for a forthcoming album from Yoruba. But this is a license for Set. And it's called Pride, Nadira Shakur.
On 90.7 FM, KPFK. Thank you. 90.7 FM KPFK. We are here grooving to the music of Osun Lade. And tell us the name of that track again.
It's called Pride.
Okay. I'm trying to kill some time as we cue up the next record, which is UFO's Listen Love, which is a remix that you did. Any info? How did you come to hook up with these guys?
They call me. I'm a big fan as well. And this is a remake of John Lucien, Listen Love. And I love John Lucien, so it was a great opportunity to do a rendition of one of his songs. So it was an interesting thing.
I hate to interrupt the groove, but there's just no getting around it when you gotta get out of here to catch a plane to get back home. So one more question before you get out of here. The album is Paradigm, and it's out on Soul Jazz Records.
Yes.
And what do you want people to know about you or get from this album?
Spirit. Purity. A good vibration and cleansing. And unity. And to kind of, I guess, embrace what we're doing.
Right.
And see that it's across the board. It's not one thing, it's all things. And it's, you know, we're all the same, and it's you know, what we are.
All right. Well, man, I hate to end this interview. I got so many more questions. I know you have so much more music. I have so much more music. Yeah. There's so much more that I'd love to share with the people, but I don't want to be the cause of you missing a plane, getting stuck in LA one more day. Thanks so much for taking the time to stop by.
Thank
I really appreciate that, and hope, you know, the next time you're in town, you'll swing on by and bring some records.
Spend some more time.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Spend some more time and help further get the Los Angeles area familiar with you and what you're all about, so you have even more people check you out when you come back and spin.
Yeah, I love that.
So my guest has been Osen Lade today here on Restless Soul, and what we're going to do is go out with a track from his album, Paradigm, which is out on Soul Jazz Records. We're going to get into the Ocho track. Anything you want to say about that before we drop it on the good folks?
Nah.
All right. Well, I'll just tell you this. Go out and get it if you don't have it, because it's well worth the price of the ticket. Osen Lade on Restless Soul, 90.7 FM, KPFK.